steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, or the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah. La, 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 la.
Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026. Highly anticipated guest joining me in studio at 11 a.m., Democratic candidate for governor of the state of Wisconsin, Joel Brennan, is going to be here. Going to have a little chit-chat with him, see what's on his mind. Going to ask him about his glide path to the nomination. He probably thinks he has one because he has not dropped out of the race. Speaking of the race for governor, it is currently here. Because 80,000 votes have already been cast. And so I think that there's going to be some inconsistencies in the vote totals. Let me tell you why. Some people are on what is called a permanent absentee ballot list. They receive their ballots by mail no matter what. That list has always existed, but it got a little bit more robust during the elections that we had while we were in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. So people can put their names on a list. So automatically when the ballots are printed, you will receive your ballot in the mail. And you'll receive your ballot in the mail long ahead of the election and even a month probably before early voting starts. Speaking of early voting, there are going to be at minimum 6 sites in the city of Milwaukee that will allow you to cast your ballot prior to the Tuesday August 11th primary. I'm going to give you those sites later on in the program so you know where to go if you want to cast your ballot early. Good old Sherwin's going to vote on election day. That's what I think I'm going to do. Assuming that I'm not incapacitated or dead, I want to be all up in it. You know what I mean? I want to be in the thick of it. I want to be at my polling location. I want to see what it looks like, what it smells like. I want to see if it's busy, if the lines are long, if the lines are short, if the Democratic Socialists are going to be protesting, you know, us establishment Democrats. I have some things to say about them because I'm fielding a lot of questions about Francesca Hong. Why the hell are y'all asking me about her? I don't know why. I'm not the expert on her. I do know this much. She's a very hot commodity. So she has this thing called earned media. Earned media is television appearances and interviews and podcasts that you do that you don't have to pay for. Access to the media that the media itself grants you because there's some kind of fascination. And I did like a little bit of like averaging and adding up of some of the numbers. It's all unscientific, but she probably has received double, in earned media than she actually has in her campaign account. I think she's probably somewhere near $500,000, $400,000+. But the number of interviews that she has done and appearances that she has made and podcasts that she has appeared on, hell, even here with Good Karma Brands, even though we're not Good Karma Brands, she was she's done a number of appearances with different hosts and shows over at TMJ. So that earned media actually helps further the reach of her campaign, and she doesn't have to pay for it. She doesn't have to hire a mail vendor, mail, M-A-I-L, to do direct mail to voters. She doesn't have to hire a whole bunch of people knocking on doors, even though she has. Her getting all this earned media, I think, has elevated her status in the campaign. And it also gives this, like, fantastic, whimsical, you know, mode and era to the campaign, because there's a whole bunch of promises. And if you take all of the places and the spaces in which people are very uncomfortable and very unhappy economically or politically, because, you know, the establishment sucks, her campaign sounds really appealing. And I think it sounds appealing to people that don't really follow the grinding, slow nature of what policy creation actually is. But if you're just a surface follower or have a real minimum, bare minimum understanding of policy and politics, she sounds like a fantastic candidate. But also, you got to keep something in mind, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not the only one that shares this sentiment. You guys hear it every single damn day. People's understanding of politics and elections and what elected officials even do is scarce. People just, they don't know. And we assume because someone is running for office with a campaign platform that they are going to be able to do all of those things. They are not. If they're a legislator, they need cooperation and support from other legislators, including legislators from the opposite party. If you're an executive, whether it be a mayor, whether it be a county executive, or you are running for governor of the state of Wisconsin, you can only do what is enshrined in your power via the Constitution, or you can only be as productive as your legislature wants you to be. Because we seem to think that if this person gets elected, all of these things are going to come true. So when I was a teenager, I wanted a Corvette. I wanted a Porsche 911. I wanted to come home from school and then just hang out with my friends. I had a whole bunch of plans for myself. But my legislature, my parents, didn't necessarily cooperate and agree. I made all sorts of plans. I wanted to go to the mall, and I wanted to go to my girlfriend's house for a little high school nookie. You guys remember high school nookie? It was better back then, wasn't it?
I think it was better.
The nookie was sweeter in the 90s. But I couldn't do all those things. I needed cooperation and permission from a legislature. So I want to level set in that regard. Another issue that I'm going to bring up, because I always bring it up because it's very important, and I also want us to have like a baseline of what we're most focused on, what we should be most focused on in this campaign. If I look at where Milwaukee is lagging, our education levels of the racial plurality of people in this city is really low. Black children are not doing very well. And it's kind of an oxymoron, right? So we have an ill-prepared workforce, or it's not as prepared as I think it should be to handle whatever this technologically sophisticated economy is going to be 20, 30, and beyond. Because it's not my economy anymore. It's not my world anymore. In fact, however many years I have left, ladies and gentlemen, and if you are close to me in age, not imagine many of you that listen to this program are, the majority of our life is going to be spent in retirement. Yes, we still will be active participants as consumers, and yes, we still will be voters and a part of the economy. But for the most part, our contributions are that of retirees. And I want to make sure that in our collective sunset years, we have a workforce that we adequately prepared with our tax dollars, with our institutions of public or charter or private education, so that the young people can take advantage of whatever these professional opportunities are going to be. And quite honestly, we don't even know what they are going to be. But having young people that are prepared, because we're investing in them essentially so they can take care of us. And at the same time, we are asking for more jobs and jobs to come back from overseas. It's really hard to do that, especially in a town like Milwaukee, where the overall baseline levels of education for black children in particular are so, so low. How we educate young people has got to be a central core focus, because it also is one of the guarantees of what states are supposed to do. States are supposed to enumerate all the other things that are not in the U.S. Constitution. States administer elections, and states educate their public. That is what states do. Now you can throw in a couple of other things for good measure, but for the most part, I mean, we have a state department of transportation to make sure that we have the highways and the byways and the roads and the bridges and all of the things, but even a good portion of that is federally funded. So states are relatively limited in their scope of what they actually execute. Everything else comes from the federal government, but educating our young people is extremely important. I just want folks to know that this fatigue that seems to be trending, the fatigue has crept its way into other spheres of public life. There is no motivation to educate the people who are causing the fatigue. And that's probably a terrible thing for me to say. It's probably, some people would say, it's a very racist thing. It can be all of those things, but it's also a reality. I got a story here. I got a couple of them, actually, and I'm going to explain the way in which we should be looking at racial segregation now in the 21st century compared to how we looked at it hitherto. It was geographic segregation. This is where the blacks live. This is where the whites live. The segregation is different now. So in one of the stories that I have, and I got a bunch of them, Wisconsin ranks in the top five for public education. Isn't that crazy? Top five. It's like it's doing really, really good. But then at the same time, I have a story here where three teenagers were shot. And so when I get into the details of it, because I want everyone to have a profound understanding of this, because you're paying for all of it. And they're going to ask you for more money. You're probably going to say yes, and you're going to be paying for more of it. Here's what we are doing in the state of Wisconsin, for better or for worse, whether you like it or not. We are making sure and maintaining that parts of the state that are still overwhelmingly racially homogeneous perform well at the expense of minority students and minority taxpayers, right? So if you look at the city of Milwaukee, the number of people that live here that pay property taxes, the number of people that work here that pay income taxes, the number of people that are consumers in Milwaukee that pay sales taxes, a disproportionate amount of that money that goes into the state budget does, in fact, come from Milwaukee and the economic engine that it is. But far too much of our money is going to educate children who are already doing very, very well. I'll break it down on a local level for you. And Aisha Carr said this when she was on my show a couple of years ago before she got herself into trouble by trying to recall her colleagues, which that wasn't the smartest move, but God bless her. We love Aisha Carr. She was against the referendum. As a school board member at the time, she was like, you guys, this referendum is bad. Don't vote for this. Because the schools at NPS that are performing well, like those banner schools, those flagship schools, they're going to get the majority of the referendum money. But the way they pitch it to us politically, the lowest performing schools are the ones that are going to get the money. That's what we think. We think, oh, NPS needs more money because these low-performing schools with a lot of poor children in them, and, you know, the academic scores are really, really low. Oh, if we say yes to the referendum, these low-performing schools are going to get the money. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the trick. You have to have low-performing schools in order to convince the public they need to open up their wallets. And then when the public says, yes, we want the poor-performing schools to do better because we want these children to have a future and we want to build a workforce for the city of Milwaukee, et cetera, and we open up our wallets, we vote yes on a referendum, and the majority of the money goes to the schools that don't need it, don't require it, because they're already overperforming. And what this does is it takes those children and those students who are in those overperforming schools, and it puts them light years ahead. So they're going to have first opportunity at college admissions. They're going to have first opportunity at high-paying jobs, et cetera, et cetera. That's the segregation. Black children's futures are being mortgaged for the salvation of white children, because we got to keep in mind this part. I know it's kind of hard to conceptualize it. I sometimes have a problem with it, but I got to live in reality. I can't live in this fantasy world that a democratic socialist is going to come in here and fix all of our goddamn problems. Remember, democratic socialists, or not even, there were sewer socialists. They're very different. And stuff. People saying that Milwaukee used to have socialist mayors and comparing those people and that modality of socialism to democratic socialism is almost the exact same as people saying, oh, the Democrats are the party of slavery. Yes, they used to be, but they have been redefined for the 20th and 21st century. Does that make sense to you? It's a misnomer, and we're taking advantage of people that don't know very much detail about politics. The sewer socialists used tax dollars to build a damn sewer system in Milwaukee so we could flush the goddamn toilet. We're still using tax dollars to flush the toilet, so sewer socialism is still here. What you need to know about socialists, whether it be those from back then or those right now, they participated in the segregation of Milwaukee. They laid the foundation for it. Socialism does not, it's not a replacement for racism. Racism and socialism are going to work hand in hand unless you're in like a European country like Norway. Then you can be as democratic socialist as you want to, because that's a whole bunch of white people with blonde hair doing things and taking care of and making free college and free hospitals for other white people with blonde hair. But the fact that we have race and racial diversity means that democratic socialism will never operate the way that it does in these European countries that we pedestalize. That's number one. Number two, I'm black. I don't want to pedestalize anything from Europe. That is where white supremacy came from. That is where the slave trade came from. I don't want their economic and political modality here. It's simply not going to work. But the promises sound good. I'm feeling a little under the weather today, but I'm still going to kick this show's ass. We got Joel Brennan coming in at 11 o'clock. I've been talking Joel Brennan up a lot now. I've been talking him up. He might make me look like a whole fool. Now, let me be clear. I ain't endorsing nobody. Sherwin ain't it. I don't think I am. But also, nobody has asked me. And plus, my endorsement might hurt. So I think I've laid the foundation for where the show is going to go today. Should be a doozy if I can get through it. The Democrats are calling for new ballots to be sent out. So I'm going to take a break, come back. I'm going to dive into that because 80,000 people have already voted. Since those 80,000 people have already voted, these are the permanent absentee voter list. Some of you are on it because during COVID, you can put your name on this list where no matter what, no matter where you are, no matter what year it is, they're just going to mail you your ballot and you can return it via mail. You don't have to worry about a polling location. You don't have to worry about election day. It's actually very convenient and it made a lot of sense during the COVID years. But some of you have just preferred to vote that way in perpetuity, and that's totally fine. 80,000 people have already voted. Here's what the problem is. Of those 80,000 people that have already voted, some of them voted for Missy Hughes. She dropped out. Not many voted for Missy Hughes, but somebody probably did. She dropped out. Some of them absolutely voted for the Sarah Rodriguez. She also dropped out. Some of them voted for David Crowley. He dropped out, but then he dropped back in. And they may want to change their vote because there are some people, I promise you, of that 80,000 that don't like the inconsistency of being in the race, getting out of the race, and getting back in the race. And they also may not like the fact that Tony Evers is trying to put his thumb on the scale for David Crowley. So if you're one of those people, technically, this is what I think. I think you should be able to get another ballot because you voted under pretenses that became false. You know how many votes Sarah Rodriguez probably has? Now, you got to keep this in mind. Those votes that she has by people that voted early already of the 80,000 people, that means that these people cannot vote for David Crowley. They cannot vote for Francesca Hong. They cannot vote for Kelda. No one's voting for Kelda anyway. I don't even think Kelda's going to vote for Kelda. I would bet you $50 when Kelda goes and votes, she's going to vote for Francesca. Kelda's going to be like, oh, if you can't beat him, join him. I hope that I can get a position in Francesca Hong's administration. I'm going to take a break, come back. Gonna rock and roll a little bit. What did y'all do yesterday, Xavier? Did you play a recorded show? I was tuned out yesterday, Jack. What did you do?
Yeah, I played a recorded show for them. Okay. Friday show.
All right, now. Did you break the mic? I figured you'd have a socialism hour while I was gone.
No, I didn't want you to have an aneurysm.
I wouldn't have heard it. Wouldn't know, somebody probably would have texted me.
Yeah, they would have sent it to you. Did you hear what Xavier said in the Hughes Views Facebook group?
And I'd have to come up here in my underwear. Because if I'm not at work, I'm not getting dressed. So I come up here in my slippers and my boxers. And I'd be like, Xavier, no more socialism, sir.
Yeah, I'd be converting everyone to a Francesca Hong supporter.
You know, I do want to talk about y'all, because y'all are just, not you necessarily, but it's hard to envision some of the people that are under the tent and the umbrella of devout democratic socialism as my political allies.
Are you familiar with Chris Rapp?
No, I don't know. The next 30 people you think that I probably know, Xavier, I guarantee I don't know any of them.
Well, most of the people that are getting elected under that banner are people of color.
Okay, good. And their voters are probably dumb, and their voters are probably thinking that these quote-unquote people of color, Democrat. At first, we don't use people of color. You're black or you're something else. You're black or you're an other. But they're just, some of them are just, they're mean. Like the comments that I get on my YouTube page. Oh, if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, what are you waiting for? Hughes Views 414. And so I'll post shorts and I'll have my videos, whatever. And if people disagree with my political sentiments, which is rooted in who I am as a person, my personal experience, all of that, right? Then they attack me as a person. They don't attack the argument. Like, oh, Sherwin, you're a stupid head. You suck, Sherwin. Attack the argument, and that some of y'all are just so miserably insufferable when the world doesn't agree with you. It's really, really hard to find allyship amongst those people. Let's pause that, take a break, come back. Let's regroup after the break. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Hanging around downtown by myself, and I had so much time to sit and think about myself, and there she was. Like double cherry pie.
Yeah, there she was.
Like disco superfly.
So if you already voted, you might want to change your mind. But you know what, though, when you think about it? So you're on the permanent absentee list. And this is where it gets a little tricky. I think some Democrats, listen, mark my words, listen to me now. And of course, this is going to be on a podcast and this show is going to exist forever. Sometimes I'm okay with my shows existing forever because I was like, oh, that show was good. And sometimes I say stuff that I don't want to exist forever, but mark my words on this one. Some Democrats, depending upon what the results of the election, the primary election, the general election is a whole nother ballgame. That's a whole nother strategy. That's go time against Tom Tiffany, who I think lives with his mother. I think he calls his mother mommy. He's one of those kinds. But some Democrats that aren't successful in this primary are going to scream, not voter fraud, but they're going to question the integrity of the election. I want you to listen, though. Donald Trump has laid a false and faulty foundation that we need to have a healthy level of suspicion in our elections. Now, we all know that our elections are scrutinized. I believe that they are fair. I believe that there's a number of processes that makes it really, really difficult to cheat, to manipulate the numbers. You can still do it. I just think that it's really tough to do, and you have to be some kind of mathematical, technological genius to be able to get away with it. It can be done, but it's extremely rare. I would argue that if there is some inaccuracies in our votes, it's not enough to change the results of an election. But one of the evil genius parts of what the Trump MAGA theme has done to America, it just makes us question things that we never otherwise ever thought about. Isn't it weird that when Barack Obama got elected and reelected, they never said anything about cheating and voted for? Like, there was some small rumblings, but it was worse when Joe Biden got elected. And I found that odd, because if you want to tell America that a system is unfair, there's cheating going on, wouldn't it be the election of a black president in one of the historically most racist and segregated countries on the planet? Like, I found that weird. Like, that would have been a time to get more people suspicious of elections, because a black dude with a terrible name. When I first heard his name, I was like, oh, sir, That is not presidential. You need a stage name. You can't be Barack Hussein Obama. That's so Muslim and black. So African. All the stuff America hates. But they didn't really talk about election fraud. Now they do talk about it. Whether it exists or not, everybody's a little bit more suspicious. And if 80,000 Democrats have already voted, 80,000 people, and that could impact the Democratic primary, because who in the hell is voting early for Tom Tiffany? There's no point. So I think the majority of that 80,000 votes that have been cast have been probably for, the majority of those votes have been cast for the Democratic candidates, because that's where all the action is at. And some of those candidates may have dropped out of the race, or because the race has changed direction so many times on the Democratic side, some of these folks may regret their choice, or their vote is locked up with, let's say, a Sarah Rodriguez. And Sarah Rodriguez has dropped out of the race. And so I think it depends on what the results are going to be. I think that you're going to have candidates who are going to say, this election is not fair because 80,000 plus people already voted for a candidate or candidates that dropped out of the race, and they were not able to get a new ballot issued. I do believe that if you want to request a new ballot, you should be able to do so. And the Democratic Party is actually out ahead of this because they know what this can mean for the race. There might be some folks, follow me on this, they may have been a Sarah Rodriguez person because she technically is the heir apparent. She's the woman. There was a belief that she could mobilize white college-educated suburban voters, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Okay, she screws up her money, right? Campaign finance stuff got screwed up. She drops out of the race. There are some people, I don't know how many, that went from Sarah Rodriguez to now they want to be with Francesca or Kelda, but their vote is still cast for Sarah Rodriguez. And if you're that person, you're very upset. From Madison, Wisconsin, a chaotic Democratic primary for Wisconsin governor that has seen numerous candidates drop out and re-enter the race has threatened to leave thousands of voters who have already returned their ballots with worthless votes for the state's top office. That possibility prompted the state's Democratic Party yesterday to make a plea to the State Elections Commission, urging it to allow voters who already cast an absentee ballot to vote again. Now, hold on. Now, think about what this is. So the Election Commission can actually do this. They say, you know what? You guys voted for Sarah Rodriguez or you voted for Missy Hughes. They dropped out of the race. Here's a new ballot. The Republicans are going to call that voter fraud because they're not going to explain the thorough details of what actually transpired during the Republican and the Democratic primary. They're going to say Wisconsin voters got to vote twice. I'm going to pause there. Come back. I want to flush out the details of this proposal, which I think is a good idea, because if you voted for someone that then dropped out of the race, your vote is now locked up with someone who is technically not even a candidate anymore, and that is not fair. That's not fair to the voters. I also think there needs to be some kind of a law. I don't know how the hell we do it, but once a certain day passes, once those ballots get mailed out, your ass can't drop out the race. You in it, Bennett. You in it. I know you want to drop. You can't. If your name is on the ballot, you got to stay in it to win it. What rhymes with win it and in it? The town of Gwinnett, Georgia. You got to be in it to win it like Gwinnett. Because that's not fair. Don't vote for somebody and that person drops out the race. You know what? I was thinking about this. I was thinking about a lot of stuff. I'm sick, everybody. How do you get a cold in the summer? This is messing up my thotting abilities. You can't thot when you're under the weather.
Wash your hands.
I wash the hell out of my hands all the time. Unbelievable.
Sleeping under the fan?
Oh, I have a fan going.
Oh, that's probably why.
Yeah. But my house is, my windows are, I need to replace my windows. $13,000 to replace my windows? I'll suffer. But either my house is 17,000 degrees or it's minus 45 below zero. It's either hot, hot, hot or cold, cold, cold. It's very confusing for me.
Try to get the hookup through Dr. Ken.
Dr. Ken, what the hell are you going to do with my window?
One of his old sponsors was like the window place.
I not no more, man.
Oh, well,
maybe. And I met the the Pella windows. Like, I seen her at a Bucks game. She ain't giving your boy no discount on no windows. In fact, Pella windows would probably be even more expensive. However, I digress. You made me. This is what I was going to say. The last person to enter the race, what I thought was Joel Brennan, because he got in December 11th. He was the last person to get in. No, technically the last person to get into the race for governor is David Crowley. David Crowley been in the race for a week. Not even a week. 4 days, because he dropped out and he got back in. So he's the most recent entry to the... All right, I'm going to take a break, come back. Continue trotting along, trying to get folks to understand what's really going on. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Trying to catch up with the YouTube chat. I want to address an obvious question that's easy to answer in the YouTube chat, but I do want to get back to the fact that 80,000 people have already voted in the Wisconsin August 11th primary, and some of those people voted for a candidate who has dropped out of the race. Some of those 80,000 people voted for a candidate that was in the race, dropped out, and then got back in. And maybe some of those 80,000 people changed their minds altogether, because when they returned their ballots via mail, a lot of different things transpired in the race. And I think that those folks should, in fact, because that's not fair to the voter. It's not fair for someone that voted for Sarah Rodriguez believing that she was either the best candidate or the heir apparent or whatever. She had the best chance of beating Tom Tiffany, and there's some people that thought that. But then you voted for her on that premise, and then she dropped out of the race. Now your vote is not going to count toward another candidate who might actually have a better opportunity at beating Tom Tiffany. So Guru wants to know. Man, y'all type fast. Well, it's also a lot of people in here, too. Where is it? Right here it is. Guru says, and why did our Milwaukee Police Association endorse Tom Tiffany while Milwaukee Sheriff Deputy Union endorsed a Republican Lieutenant Governor? Very strange for a blue city. No, it's not. Here's something you absolutely have to understand about police unions and sheriff's unions and deputy unions. They are exceptionally Republican. They are exceptionally Republican. I cannot recall the last time the MPA, the Milwaukee Police Union, endorsed a Democratic candidate. I don't even think it was in this century. Okay, you know, back in the day when we had a residency requirement where you, if you wanted to work for municipal government, you wanted to work for the city, you had to live in the city, because we want you to live in the city in which you are collecting your paycheck, because your paycheck is coming from tax dollars. And also, if you're a cop, if you're a firefighter, we want you to be familiar with the people, the places, the schools and the institutions of the city that has hired you, right? Well, the residency rule was essentially rescinded by Scott Walker as a gift to the police and firefighters who were still disproportionately Caucasian that do not want to live in the city because they've been fatigued. And also, the only two unions that were spared from Act 10 were the police and firefighters union. Act 10, signed by Scott Walker somewhere around February, January of 2011, gutted public sector unions, but not the police union. They've been left intact, and the firefighter unions as well, because they are conservative. So don't think because the quote-unquote city is blue that our police unions. This should give people a bigger perspective. You know how many cops are Republicans? Statistically, if you get pulled over by a cop, you're getting pulled over by someone who absolutely supports Donald Trump. You know how many cops were at January 6th? Have you guys seen that thin blue line? That flag, it's the American flag. It's all black and it's got the blue line on it. That's symbolic of being a very conservative Donald Trump supporter. Blue Lives Matter. The whole Blue Lives Matter crowd, ladies and gentlemen, is very conservative. Blue Lives Matter is not liberal or progressive. It's not even establishment Democrat. I'm starting to think that they're using establishment as a slur. And I defended establishment because there are some things in this society that have to have a foundation to them. They have to be established. I like establishment stuff. I like when I go to the doctor, let's say I need a new elbow. I messed my elbow up and I got to get an elbow transplant. Okay. I don't want to go to, hi, I'm a non-establishment doctor. We're going to have you chew on some twigs and sticks to numb the pain in your elbow. And I'm going to use a butter knife and some chicken salad to replace your elbow. No, I want an established doctor, established in science and academics. This whole thing with the, look, I get it. I know what they're doing. Like, the establishment is not working. It's corporatist. You know, big money is ruling everything. The oligarchs are screwing up the world. I totally understand it. Trust me, I do. It makes me very angry, too. The rich people aren't paying their taxes. What else? They're exploiting people. They're not raising wages. You'll have CEOs that make, what, 900 times the average worker. People can't afford their health insurance because it's too expensive. Our health insurance companies are oftentimes for-profit agencies that don't want people to stay healthy and be healthy. They're just trying to rip us off. Trust me, I know all of that. But to want to take down the establishment, it's a great thing, but there's only one way to do it, and this is why I have a problem, because the only way you can take down the quote-unquote establishment is to have a goddamn revolution. But they're not going to do that. We're not prepared for revolution. We're too fat. We're out of shape. We're not prepared. We're not survivalists. We can't live off the grid. Everything that we get that we need to maintain our lives, everything from our food, our water, our electricity, our internet, our logistics, our supply chain, is the establishment. It is the oligarchs. They provide us everything. We are so attached to their teat that we can't detach. And I get you don't like the establishment, but if you're not going to have an absolute rebellion revolution, then you got to stop complaining about the establishment, because it sounds like you're going to do something about it, but you can't. And voting is not revolutionary. It can be one of many tools in a toolbox for social change, but that's not going to do it. Because you got to keep in mind, the quote-unquote, the oligarchs and the rich people in the establishment, they vote too. And they can have heavy influence on elections. But I want folks to know that I get it if you're anti-establishment, because I can prove many different ways how the establishment doesn't work for people. In fact, the best example that I could give without being a democratic socialist, which I'm not, is I would say the establishment of the United States is fundamentally and foundationally and structurally racist. It's not always, you know, yelling N-words at black people. It's, oh, here's where you went to school. Here is what you learned. What you learned is not compatible with the world of work, success, and progress. You went to a school that was majority black. We funneled resources out of your school and put them into a white school, so you are going to be at some disadvantage academically when you come out of high school. That right there, that's establishment. The foundation of this country, based on slavery, the slave trade, and the money that was made, whether it be insuring slave ships, whether it be newspapers and big media that made money advertising slave auctions, that is establishment too. And no, I don't like that establishment, but the problem is the anti-establishment people look at racism as a footnote. So even if we went to a full social democracy or democratic socialist country, which some people think would be the best way, racism is still going to exist. If Francesca Hong and others are saying, oh, we need to fully fund MPS and we need to get rid of choice schools and charter schools, which is absolutely insane and should be a non-starter for anybody, because even if the options for black children are limited, you still can't take them away. You can't do that. You can't do it. You can disagree with them politically, and you can voice your disagreement. But if it's settled law and established in the state of Wisconsin that some families that don't make a lot of money, that can't afford tuition, should still be able to get their children educated at a school that has tuition as a racial barrier, they should still be able to do that. And you can argue you don't want public dollars going to private education. And I'll be right there with you. Like, you know what? To some extent, you're right. So then what we're going to do is we'll just fund the private schools less and let them raise the additional money that they need for their quote-unquote religious education. We can have a very sophisticated political debate on that without trying to take that option away from black children who can't read. And so what the Democratic Socialists are, because they are they're devoted to fully funding public education, but here's what you need to know about quote-unquote fully funding public education. In schools that are overperforming, whose student body happens to be overwhelmingly Caucasian, fully funding public schools gives those schools that already have the lead, whose children, those kids already have a head start, they're already more academically prepared. Some of those kids are coming out of high school and NPS with a semester's worth of college credits, and in the same district, you got some kids that can't even write their name on a piece of paper. So when they talk about fully funding public education, it's not giving money to the black kids. You have to have a segment of poverty everywhere in society so we can point to the fact that we need more money. You need poverty in cities and in towns so you can write grants to the federal government. Can you please give us more money? Because look at these poor people over here. The cops have done it for years. If you can establish that there is a drug problem in your city, you could write to the DEA and get a grant to fight drugs, to fight the drug problem. And what those police departments will do is they'll buy, like, military equipment with it. So you have to have poverty and you have to have low performance. This is establishment stuff, too, but ain't nobody talking about that. You have to have poor, dumb, illiterate black kids to say, hi, everybody. Hi, liberals. Hi, progressives. Look at these poor blacks. Look at their shoes are on the wrong foot. Their T-shirts are dirty and tattered. They look like little baby slaves. Can you please vote yes on the referendum so we can get this poor black baby a new T-shirt? And everybody says, oh, my God, yes, the poor black baby. And then the referendum passes. And then somebody runs into that poor black baby again. Their shoes are still on the wrong foot. Their T-shirt is still dirty and torn. And they're like, wait a minute. What about the referendum money that we voted on so this baby could have the shoes on the right foot and so they could get a new T-shirt? Oh, no, no, we gave that referendum money to Rufus King so that they can have a brass band perform at the goddamn Rose Bowl. But no, we're going to need another referendum because look at the black baby. Now the black baby doesn't have shoes on at all. Can you please give us another referendum? And we say yes. And what will happen is they'll get more and more and more and more money, but the performance is getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Because the kids that are overperforming in those schools are getting even more money than they need or ask for. That's the problem. And democratic socialism doesn't answer that by saying, let's just fully fund public schools. Fully fund children. Try that out one time. Take a break. Come back. Keep chatting. Read some text messages if we have any. Do you guys even text 833-212-1017 anymore? I know I don't check it very often. I should check it more often. 833-212-1017 if you want to text in some stuff. We also have a YouTube poll. We asked you guys if you voted early already, and next to none of you did. 98% of you have not already voted early absentee. Okay, maybe that's a good thing. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
A chaotic Democratic primary for Wisconsin governor that has seen numerous candidates drop out and re-enter the race has threatened to leave thousands of voters who have already returned their ballots with worthless votes for the state's top office. That possibility prompted the state Democratic Party yesterday to make a plea to the State Elections Commission urging it to allow voters who already cast an absentee ballot to be able to vote again. More than 80,000 ballots have already been returned. The request is all but certain to result in a lawsuit with the primary just 3 weeks away. So now the Democrats are likely to sue the state Elections Commission to require them to send ballots to individuals, the 80,000 individuals that have already voted. This is tricky because technically, so this has happened before. And so whenever you have the rare instances of quote unquote voter fraud, you got to remember in the state of Wisconsin, we can't make a single mistake when it comes to our elections. When it comes to casting ballots, we can't make a single mistake. So here's what oftentimes happens, right? So people may not know the rules and they put themselves on the permanent mail absentee ballot list, mail M-A-I-L. During COVID, you could, well, anytime you could do it. And it usually was people that were, it was seniors or people that travel a lot or expatriates. So if you're going to be out of the country for an extended period of time and you know you're going to be out of the country during an election, you put yourself on that permanent absentee ballot list and they'll mail your ballot to wherever you are. You're in Spain, into Portugal, maybe you're in France, maybe you're in one of those weird World Cup countries. Thank God soccer is over. Who won? Brazil? China? Who won the World Cup? Florida?
Spain.
Spain won?
Yeah, they beat the racist country of Argentina.
Spain is just as racist. Spain is more racist.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know. You should look into the history of Argentina. It's pretty interesting, actually.
The Argentinians speak what language? Spanish.
Yes.
Why do they speak Spanish? Because they were colonized by Spain. Conquered.
But right. Most of the people that live over there now are technically European Spanish because they cast out a lot of the blacks.
Okay, all right. But Spain is a Western European country that also, in fact, we bought the Louisiana Purchase. Well, no, we bought that from the French. Or was it the Spanish? They colonized America and had involved in the slave trade like in the 1500s. So Spanish people, we get this confused. Oh, Hispanics are people of color. No, they're not. They're Western European races. They were just, the worst ones were the Dutch and the Portuguese. They used to just eat black people. They don't get enough bad credit throughout history. Portugal was a little itty bitty country. They screwed Brazil over. But no, I get it. The Argentinians. But nobody likes black people. And we get our feelings hurt. Because you know what's crazy? Black people will tell you the kind of black people that they don't like. For whatever reason. But then when somebody else says they don't like that same kind of black person for the exact same reason, you can't say that. I mean, I get it. Only we can talk about our people. Because, you know, there's white people I don't like. There's some white people I think are fantastic. There's some white people I'd go sailing with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's some white people that if I went sailing with them, I wouldn't come back.
Yeah, you should have just seen how they treated I Show Speed.
I don't know who that is.
He's a popular black streamer. They were throwing beer at him, all kinds of stuff, calling him N-word.
That's not nice.
Yeah, for no reason.
Well, he's black. That's the number.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But I can't, in good faith nor conscience. Because soccer fans are just, they're not human. I don't know what the fascination is with a sport where you can't use your hands. That's insane to me. Soccer is a sport that children play before they figure out what big boy and big girl sport they're going to play. And all they do is just run and kick the ball. Soccer is real football starts in about 50 days, so everybody relax. Oh, I got good news for you, Xavier.
What's that?
You know, Milwaukee is seeing a lot of strip club closures. And I'm happy to report that if you were a VIP member or a VIP card holder at either the airport lounge, which is also closed, it's going to be torn down, actually, or on the border, you can take your VIP membership card to Silk Exotic and trade it in for a lifetime VIP membership to Silk Exotic. That's right, Xavier. They did that for you. Somebody nice. Was listening to my show that day, and they're like, you know what? Anyone who was ever a VIP member, why you would be a VIP member at the airport lounge? I got kicked out of there, by the way, one night. Long story.
What were you doing there?
It was a friend's birthday.
Doing some grabbing?
No, that's the thing. I could see getting kicked out for that. But I was there for a friend's birthday, and I didn't really want to go because it's way out the way. And then it just turned into a thing, and then one of the dancers got lippy with me. So I got lippy back, but I won the argument, and the bouncer was like, you can't talk to her like that. I'm like, sir, she can't talk to me like that. And he's like, well, I think you need to leave. I said, I think you need to get a college diploma. And then it just turned into, you know what I mean? It was a thing. So, yeah, if you're a VIP card holder at any of those other establishments that have closed, Silk will allow you to trade that in for a VIP membership at Silk Exotic. So that's courtesy of, well, really me. I put that plan together because I want people to be able to see the Midnight Ballerinas because they're only paying their way through college. Yeah. Now I'm going to take a break, come back, and talk about political stuff. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.